Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Today is World Creativity and Innovation Day. What on earth does that mean? Can creativity and innovation be taught, or are we born that way? Let's find out. Joining us again this morning is Dr. Shana Saffa, medical practitioner and psychiatrist at Netcare Linksfield Hospital. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Howard?
I am doing very well, thank you. It's a great day, Creativity Day, because we can spend just a moment trying to figure out how this whole thing works. Can creativity be taught, or are we born as creative people?
So, the answer is actually both. When they've done studies looking at specifically creative people, so for example, they've looked at groups of writers or groups of musicians, people who spent their lives being creative, what they find is that the children of such people and family members often have some kind of a creative bent as well. So you'll find cousins or ancestors or, you know, in more people in the family. So the question was always, is it inherited or genetic? Or is it just because you have creative parents, you have more of the milieu in which you grow up to be creative? Certainly it seems to be both, but definitely it appears that there are certain brain tracts and brain areas which allow us to be more creative, which is very interesting. Again, it's not to say that the brain is not plastic. Brains can be made creative. So just because it's inherent in certain brain areas doesn't mean that it can't be taught.
Right. I mean, if I think about it, I consider myself a creative person because I write. I came from the least creative people in the entire world. My father being a mechanical engineer, my mother of German background, very uncreative. But yet, was I born that way, or did I become that way? And what are those ingredients that people need in order to be creative in their own space?
I suppose you want me to say what people need is a touch of madness, Howard?
I think that helps. I did. Well, I think maybe it's madness, maybe it's courage, because the more constrained you feel by your environment and the more you feel you need to conform, I think the less creative we are.
Well, that's exactly true. And if I translate that into the neuroscience, what's very interesting is that there's a part of the brain, I think I spoke about it last time, which is kind of a more free-flowing part, which just allows us to sort of think laterally and dwell on things and just daydream, as it were. But then there's another part of the brain, okay, which, as I said, was the executive office suite of the brain. And that part, which is the dorsolateral frontal neocortex, right in the top of the brain, that part of the brain would be doing what you are saying, not necessarily conforming, but that is modulating, checking, planning, organizing, sequencing, making sure things are going correctly. So it's not a bad thing, because obviously it's a functional thing, but it definitely is shown that when people are in that creative flow, you need that part of the brain. The CEO mustn't be breathing down your neck, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
So,
in other words, you need both. If I think about what is music, music out there is just chaos. It's musical notes that are flying around. But if a composer orders them into something using creativity and order and chaos, then that becomes creativity. It's the same with words. I guess it's the same with shapes or anything else.
Absolutely. But the definition of creativity, one of the biggest, number one in the four-part definition, is more about the ability to bring something novel, a novel or new thought, idea. It can be a novel play on words. It can be a novel way of presenting your novel, to pun a little bit there. But it's something new that's also very satisfactory to the person and to the greater society.
Can this be taught? How do we teach our children to be creative from a young age? Can we teach that?
I think we can teach it, and just as a mechanism or as a comment, we often teach our patients or instruct our patients to engage in creative tasks in order to minimize or decrease stress. And what you find is the converse is true. So creative people tend to handle stress better. So that's probably because they end up, seeing a stressful situation not as an obstacle but as an opportunity. They also think there's a word called convergent thinking. So, for example, a person will look at a box and not think, this is a box, what can I put in it? But it might be a step to, jump up and dive into your pool. Or it might be, that's an example of convergent thinking compared to much more concrete or divergent thinking. So I'll give you an example. When you're standing and cooking, I've seen certain people are very particular about following a recipe. You know, it must be exactly a pinch of this or exactly 3 drops of mint essence. And what I like to encourage is just close the recipe book. Sure, you've got to know the basics. No one's saying that we want to live in a maelstrom of chaos. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a little bit of chaos for that creativity to flourish. You've got to be able to, pick up the paint and make some splotches, or you'll never be the next Jackson Pollock.
Absolutely. I love that idea. I love the idea of bringing chaos, working with chaos as well as order, because I think that's ultimately what it is about. It's unfortunately 8:30 and I do have to conform, because that is what's expected of me. We need to go to news headlines. Dr. Shana Safa, thank you as always, medical practitioner and a psychiatrist working at Netcare Linksfield Hospital, talking to us about creativity. How are some minds more creative than others?